welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, the 7th of March, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KJLL The Jolt 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. If you haven't checked out our website, please do so. We're very proud of it. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. The program then re-airs in the evening from 7 to 8 here on KJLL. Today's lineup, another good one. We'll start with a newsmaker interview with the chief economist of the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute, a newsmaker interview with the former chief of staff of the United States Army, General John Wickham. Then we'll talk with a top official with the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. As always, your questions and comments are welcome. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. Well, this week, the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute will be releasing a paper exposing what it considers 146 pork barrel projects that taxpayers have funded to the tune of $1.2 billion. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Byron Schlomach, economist and director of the Center for Economic Prosperity for the Goldwater Institute. It's a conservative public policy research organization founded in 1988 with Senator Barry Goldwater's blessing. Dr. Schlomach, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Boy, if I suppose in the view of the Goldwater Institute, getting rid of 146 pork barrel projects would go a long way to helping solve Arizona's budget deficit.
It would. The fact is, though, I will tell you, we're just barely scratching the surface. We all, I think, are aware of the state auditor's report that just recently came out about school spending and the fact that less of a state dollar is getting to the classroom. And so I think that's another example that's not even in our publication.
The report profiles $230 million that has been spent, in your opinion, misspent on Tucson's Rio Nuevo project, including $5.5 million to subsidize private business development. What can you tell us about the faults of the Rio Nuevo project?
Well, that project has seen way too little oversight. And if you look at some of the spending that has occurred, and, you know, there have been quite a few stories about this. Much of this information comes even from state audits and such. But if you look at some of the things, there's various projects to fix traffic crossings and to deal with multimodal linkages and such. That hasn't even been completed yet. They have a 200% cost overrun. There was the development of the Mission San Agustin Cultural Center that was completed, but it had 92% cost overrun. There's the restoration of the Fox Theater that had a 174% cost overrun. Over and over again, you look at cost overruns, and many of these projects that they had started aren't even completed. And then there was even spending on things that aren't even within the Rio Nuevo boundaries, like the Grand Clearwater Cushing Roundabout, which was $953,000. That came from Rio Nuevo monies, but it's not within that district. That's just one example of two or three things like that. Then you have capital costs for things like the convention center, Depot Plaza, parking garages. Some of these things, you might argue, are justified public investments, but over and over again, you see these cost overruns, and the question becomes one of how much is this really accomplished for the city of Tucson? And I think certainly at the moment, there would be some justification in expressing some buyer's remorse.
On the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Byron Schlomach of the Goldwater Institute. He is an economist and director for the Goldwater Institute's Center for Economic Prosperity. Some of the other pork barrel projects that jump out at you, give us a little bit of an overview of them.
Well, one of the biggest things is arts spending, and this is at the state level. These are grants that have been handed out by the Commission on the Arts, and these kinds of gifts, I guess you would say, have been handed out all over the state. But when it comes to Tucson in particular, there are things like the drawing studio that got $10,000, something called the Invisible Theater that got $7,300. There are two, there's this one publisher, the Core Press, that publishes only woman authors, only that, feminist tracks.
Yeah, I believe you're talking about Corey Press.
Corey Press.
K-O-R-E, is that what you're saying?
That's right, okay. That's right. And then another $3,600 that was granted to the Dinnerware Artists Cooperative in Tucson. Again, all these things may be things that people like to enjoy and such, but they need to stand on their own feet as opposed to getting taxpayer subsidies. What's particularly interesting is until we got this report, I had no idea this even existed. And there's an example of something like this in Tempe, for that matter. But in Tucson, there's something called the Loft Cinema, which apparently enjoys showing, basically X-rated movies. And they got a almost $17,000 grant. You see things like that happening in Sedona as well. There's a radio station there in Tucson that got a grant that does a lot of programming that's, some of it's religious, but a lot of it is kind of leftish, political programming. Again, it's not that there's not a market for that.
I think I've got to correct you on the Loft Cinema. I have to correct you on the Loft Cinema. I really am not aware that I'm not aware that they're showing X-rated movies over there. I think they show a lot of independent movies, and they have a huge following here.
Well, the example that was given in this report is something called Triple X Mice, which is a version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was quite apparently sexy.
Well, anyway, let's move on. Front page of the Arizona Republic today. Glendale may sue your Goldwater Institute over the Phoenix Coyotes deal. The lawsuit is seen as possibly the city's last option to get the conservative watchdog group to drop its opposition to the deal, which would keep the hockey team in the arena there in Glendale for the next 30 years. Why should the taxpayers of Arizona care about this?
Well, look, we're being asked to dole out, in many respects, a lot of essentially corporate welfare. These stadium deals are bad deals for taxpayers over and over again. When economists have researched this, there is negative to zero payoff for taxpayers and for communities from these kinds of big subsidies. We have in this state a state constitution that prohibits gifts to corporations. And quite frankly, the state of Arizona in some respects, but especially its localities, have been flouting the state's constitution for a long time. And we at the Goldwater Institute have made an effort to vindicate, if you will, that part of the Constitution and protect taxpayers, which is what the intent of that section of the Constitution is all about. And nobody else is standing up for taxpayers, so we've taken on that role. That's part of our mission.
By the way,
go
ahead.
As far as, Glendale taxpayers need to start to, in my opinion, stand up and say, hey, now wait a minute, why are we throwing good money after bad with these stadium deals, and now we're throwing money at a lawsuit that, frankly, is pretty unjustified?
Well, Glendale is blaming your Goldwater Institute for just the threat of legal action for spooking away the investors and driving up the city's borrowing costs.
Well, investors are entitled to have full information about a potential investment situation. And as far as I'm not one of the lawyers that have worked on this, but we have never done anything or given anybody any information that was untrue or that was intended to do anything other than just simply make them aware of the realities of Arizona's state law in the form of its constitution.
Dr. Schlomach, can you take a call from the, we have a caller to the Buckmaster Show. Joe would like to make a comment. Let's hear from Joe.
Sure.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good morning. I just love the show, Bill.
Thank you very much for listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is really refreshing. I was going to say, it sounds like the doctor is starting to finally take a long overdue stance in America, like how we do lobbying in this country, because I think the George Soroses and the Koch brothers, and then you just look at all the huge corporate lobby, it is killing this country, and everybody wants a seat. They talk about small government, but they always seem to want a seat at the $5 trillion trough that we spend every year.
Thank you, Joe. Dr. Schlomach, go ahead.
Well, I agree with that. I wouldn't put every corporate donation in the same box, but the fact is we do have a huge problem with what I would call crony capitalism in this country, and the state of Arizona recently, in my opinion, stepped into it in a big way with this $25 million in deal closing fund that was approved and that will be in the next, well, it's not even going to be budgeted for that matter. It's just an independent account sitting out there that the governor has complete discretion over about which corporations to subsidize to come to Arizona. And the fact is that nobody's ever going to be able to prove whether those corporations would have come to Arizona anyway or not, but for that money. So we have a big problem with this, and I think a former professor of mine wrote a book that I think is very appropriately titled called Stealing from Each Other. And to a certain degree, I think that's what these kinds of deals are. It's a form of stealing from each other.
Dr. Schlomach, Joe had one final question. Could you articulate what some of the good, or who are some of the good lobbyists?
The good lobbyists, we don't lobby, but I would argue that our influence on the legislature and other local governments is relatively good. We don't get very much in the way of corporate donations, but we get a few, and I can't give you chapter and verse what those corporations are. I'm not involved in the fundraising aspect of our organization.
Thank you very much, Dr. Schlomach, for being on the Buckmaster Show, and we appreciate some of your input. Quite a few calls came in that we couldn't put on the air, really disagreeing with you about the Loft Cinema. So we'll leave it at that, and thank you for being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 20 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about redistricting in Arizona with one of the newest members of that redistricting commission, Linda McNulty, on the Buckmaster Show next.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Three of the five representatives of the new independent redistricting commissioner from Tucson, including the chairperson, Colleen Mathis, a registered independent and a government funding manager for University Physicians Healthcare. She joins fellow Pima County residents Linda McNulty, a Tucson attorney and a Democrat, and Richard Sturtz, a Republican. The five-member panel is charged with redrawing political boundaries for Congress and the state legislature. Linda McNulty joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Linda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Boy, you've got a big job ahead of you. How do you see it? What's your assessment of it?
Well, the voters in the year 2000 created an independent redistricting commission and charged five people selected by the House and Senate leadership to draw the districts for Congress and for the legislature. We have just convened, as you just said, we have just been appointed, and our chair has just been added to the commission. So we're in a learning process. What we will do, I think, is based on constitutional criteria that were enacted by the voters, we will hire a consultant to assist us in drawing the maps. We will hire legal counsel, and once we have, and we will hire staff. And once we've done those things, we'll set about the task of putting together a map based on the new census data that will come out probably this week, and then we'll work on putting together district lines that satisfy the constitutional requirements.
Ms. McNulty, our friend Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com, perhaps you saw his editorial in this morning's Arizona Daily Star, basically saying that you have a very, very difficult job ahead of you, and suggests that maybe a computer could do this job, be a little, it might be easier to let a computer do it.
Well, I'm not sure that Watson has been designed yet in a way that can address the constitutional requirements in Arizona to draw districts, but we're going to try and do Watson's job. There are six criteria that we need to look at, and I think we're all very excited about it. I think we believe that the state of Arizona is kind of in the lead, on the cutting edge of developing a way to do this, and we're going to give it our best.
Linda McNulty is a Tucson attorney and a Democrat. She's one of three Tucson residents on the new Independent Redistricting Commission. This is a really difficult task because no matter what conclusion you come up with, Ms. McNulty, there are people who are going to say it was not fair. Would you agree with that?
Well, I guess that's probably the case, but I believe that we've, all five of us, taken an oath that we will implement the provisions of the Constitution. And I believe that we all believe that it makes sense, that there are ways to do that. And we are undaunted at this point. We're going to move ahead. We've been given a very clear roadmap by the Arizona voters, and we think that if we adhere to what the Constitution says, we can produce a product that we'll be proud of and that the voters will be confident can improve the political future of the state.
In the remaining minute or so, Linda McNulty, what is your deadline for this? What's the timetable look like?
Well, we were asked in a hearing last week by the Maricopa County elections folks to shoot for October 1st of this year. We have not yet, as a group, sat down and developed a timeline and looked at what's realistic and how we get there, but that's certainly a priority that we'll be working on.
And, of course, this will be for the elections coming up in 2012. You've got a big job ahead of you. Good luck to you, Linda McNulty, and thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks very much.
Linda McNulty, one of the five members of the Independent Redistricting Commission. Coming up now to the bottom of the hour on the Buckmaster Show, the always very informative General John Wickham will be on the Buckmaster Show live line talking about Libya and some very important foreign affairs. That's coming up. Stay with us.
Got something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The people who were challenging whether President Obama was actually born in the U.S. were rejected by the Supreme Court today. They questioned if he meets the constitutional standard to be eligible for the presidency. Former Senator Alan Simpson, who was co-chair of the President's Deficit Commission, says no one seems too worried about the seriousness of the nation's debt problem.
For every buck we spend, we borrow 40 cents, and if that isn't stupid, that's, you got a country that is stupid, a government that is stupid to borrow 40 cents, not from your good old Uncle Henry, but from the world.
Troops loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi are doing all they can to crush the opposition in their civil war. There were new airstrikes in Ras Lanuf today. Discovery's final mission is scheduled to end in 2 days. It undocked from the International Space Station today to begin the trip back to Earth. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Honda has recently learned that our Really Big Thing sales event is causing some confusion. It seems that after seeing really big donuts in our TV commercials, some people have gone to dealerships hungry. Sorry, we don't have big donuts, just really big deals. Like 0.9% APR financing for qualified buyers on a new Honda Civic. Or a new Accord named Car and Driver's 10 Best a record 25 times. Hurry, the Really Big Thing is only here for a really short time.
Car and Driver, January 2011. See dealer for finance details. Ends May 2nd, 2011.
Motorcycle owners, here's something to stash in your saddlebags. GEICO could save you money on motorcycle insurance, and here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak to a specialized motorcycle agent who gives you a free rate quote. If you're like thousands of other riders, the rate is less than what you pay now. And before you can say, cha-ching, the agent also tells you about 24/7 emergency road service for less than a dollar a month. Savings. It's what we do for people. Call today for a free rate quote. GEICO. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Honda has recently learned that our Really Big Thing sales event is causing some confusion. It seems that after seeing really big donuts in our TV commercials, some people have gone to dealerships hungry. Sorry, we don't have big donuts, just really big deals. Like 0.9% APR financing for qualified buyers on a new Honda Civic. Or a new Accord named Car and Driver's 10 Best a record 25 times. Hurry, the Really Big Thing is only here for a really short time.
Car and Driver, January 2011. See dealer for finance details. Ends May 2nd, 2011.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It's 35 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. The United States is escalating pressure on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi to step aside, but so far the U.S. has been reluctant to use military force to intervene in what now is a full-blown civil war in Libya. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and commander of all American and U.S. forces in Korea. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley. Always a pleasure, General Wickham.
Good to talk with you, Bill, again.
This thing has blown up into a full-blown civil war. What does the United States do at this point? Remain on the sidelines, or is there going to be some military action?
Well, Bill, Libya is quite different from some of the other upheavals in the Middle East. It's largely a tribal country, and the tribe that supports Gaddafi, his own tribe, obviously they're going to be very strongly in support of him. The other tribes, more to the west of Tripoli, the capital of Libya, are against him. So that's where you talk about the civil war. Now, the difficulty of going in there and doing something, obviously we're all concerned in the West about loss of life, is who really is the opposition and who is really the leader of the opposition and what do they really need and can we harness enough international support rather than just the U.S. trying to do it on our own. And that's part of the difficulty. Another part of the difficulty, there's been a lot of talk about a no-fly zone such as we created, NATO created in Kosovo years ago. A no-fly zone is not a simple matter. First off, you have to have destruction of every of air defenses, missiles and gun batteries on the ground. That means somebody's got to go in and attack those things, and there could be loss of life, including ours or allied lives. And then you have to have hundreds of aircraft available to police the skies and shoot down any aircraft that Gaddafi might send aloft. So it's not a simple or inexpensive undertaking, and that's part of the difficulty. There are things that we can do. And I believe we're beginning to move in this direction. One thing, for example, I believe the administration has asked the Saudi Arabian government to quietly help by providing aircraft and some arms to the rebels. We also could parachute and airdrop in arms to the rebels. We have to know what it is they need, and that's part of the difficulty. We could also, curiously, we could use Predator drones at nighttime. Now, this gets into a slippery slope of war. These drones could go in and attack Gaddafi's aircraft on the airstrips and destroy them with missiles. So there are things that we could do that are short of a major military operation. But you're exactly right, Bill. It's tending towards a civil war. And unfortunately, Gaddafi is an irrational, demented leader, and there's likely to be a substantial loss of life. And I think that the U.S. has got to begin to move with some momentum here and take some action to preclude substantial loss of life.
General Wickham, I want to move on to Korea, your area of expertise. You certainly know as much as anyone in this country about what's going on over there. South Korea and the United States began their annual extensive joint military exercises. This has prompted a renewed war threat by North Korea. How serious is this, and do you think they should have gone ahead with these military drills?
Bill, you're right. The drills are the same. One of them is the same that drill that we had when I was over there. It's a relatively small drill, about 15 to 18,000 troops, but it's the kind of thing you have to do to prepare to work together with the South Koreans. And so there's no threat to the North, but the North just doesn't like these kind of drills, and they posture when they see them. I don't see any difficulty with it. One of the things that has really aggravated the North has been the launch of balloons into North Korea. And incidentally, these balloons are being launched by North Korean defectors that are living in the South and have made a lot of money or accumulated money. And they're putting money on the balloons and putting drugs on the balloons, pharmaceutical drugs, as well as propaganda leaflets about what's going on in the Middle East. In other words, encouraging an upheaval in North Korea. And you can imagine why the North Korean government is mad about that. And so they have threatened to attack the launch sites if these balloons continue. I'm surprised that the South Korean government is allowing a private organization to do something like this, which could threaten the peace over there. But these kinds of things are going to go on. I think there is some danger, no doubt about it.
What about nuclear weapons in the South?
There are no nuclear weapons there. They were all taken out in the 1990s. We had weapons, tactical weapons, stored over there when I was the commander. But the reality is that the weapons can be brought into Korea if ever needed, and I don't foresee the need of them, from offshore locations within a matter of hours. So we don't need to station them in South Korea. But there is some movement, at least from some of the very conservative legislators in South Korea. We need to bring them back to threaten the North. The way to threaten the North is to continue with our defensive postures and to show the North that the U.S. and the South Korean military are very close together.
General Wickham, I only have about 3 minutes to go with you. It's about 42 minutes past the hour. We have a lot of veterans that listen to our show, the Buckmaster Show. You're very much up to date on veterans' issues. Funding remains strong, but I understand the caseload for injured veterans and growing homelessness of many in the U.S. is a huge concern.
That's true, Bill. You're exactly right. There are about 108,000 homeless veterans in the United States. Most of them, believe it or not, are from the Vietnam War era, but there are an increasing number from the Iraq and Afghanistan, and there are women in homeless veteran situations. So, and one of the goals of Rick Shinseki, the head of the VA, is to get all of the homeless veterans off the streets within 5 years. But he's got to do more than just get them off the streets. As he says, we have to attack the cause of homelessness. Why do these veterans become homeless? And that's because of no jobs, and we've got to encourage industry to hire and rehire veterans. We have to encourage the veterans that come out and go into college. The dropout rate of the veterans using the GI Bill is terrible, and we've got to encourage these veterans to stick it out and get their degrees and get back into the workforce.
General Wickham, how are we doing as far as the Army is concerned with reenlistments?
The reenlistment rate continues very good, as you can imagine, with the job circumstance in the United States. It's done very well. Where we're beginning to see something that's surprising, the younger officers, the captains and majors, are beginning to leave in larger numbers than the Army and the Marine Corps really want. For example, at West Point, after 5 years of obligation to pay back the years at West Point, normally 70% of the graduates stay on. Now what's happening, it's about 30% stay on. And we need to work harder at reversing those numbers. And part of the reason for that situation is this continued deployment overseas. Tour after tour after tour, it's tough on families, and it's not a very attractive career path, and I think that's part of the difficulty. I think the pay problems have been fixed.
General John Wickham, always a pleasure. Class of 1950, I've got that right, from the West Point.
That's right, Bill.
Have you done your bicycle ride yet today?
I'm just about to go for 10 miles.
10 miles.
A day. I try to go 7 days a week.
You're an amazing person, and what an asset for Southern Arizona. General John Wickham, we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
God bless, Bill. Thank you, and I enjoyed this. And you've got some very good advertisers. I listened to some of their ads before we talked, and you've got some top-quality people supporting you on your program.
We are so delighted with this group, with this cohort of advertisers that we have. They are top-quality people, and we are so appreciative to making this launch. We're 10 weeks into it, a very successful venture. Thank you, General.
Well, God bless, Bill.
All right.
Bye. 45
minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. The Center for Biological Diversity is based here in Tucson. They have some very interesting things to say. We'll be talking with them next.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. About 49 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and always on our fine website, buckmastershow.com. Well, the Earth has undergone mass extinctions, during which more than 75% of existing species disappear. It's happened five times in the past 540 years, and if things continue as they are, we may be at the beginning of a sixth. That according to a group of biologists and paleontologists who made the suggestion in a paper released last week in the Journal of Nature. With us is Sarah Bergman, Assistant Executive Director of the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. Sarah Bergman, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Do you think we may be at the beginning of one of these mass extinction periods?
Absolutely. Scientists have been talking about this for years. It really is a dramatic decrease in the amount of biological diversity we have on the planet right now. And what's interesting about this mass extinction, which I believe we are in, is that it's really human caused. It's the first time that one species has become so populous on the planet and using up so many of the resources that they're driving other species extinct. And so every day we have species we don't even know about going extinct, and we're talking about background rates of kind of standard extinction levels. There's evolution, species die off as others become stronger, and we're talking about 1,000 times more than the background rate for species dying now, and that's really what scientists are pointing to in this mass extinction.
And you know, when species start dying off, it kind of is like the old canary in the mine shaft. Mm-hmm. I mean, we start to worry about us, humans. you know, if these species are dying off, are we next?
Yeah, well, and you know, the Center for Biological Diversity started 22 years ago based on the concept that there was ecological value in every species, and that it was really about that entire ecosystem and not just we need to cut down these trees for timber because humans need to build more houses, but there's value in having the Mexican spotted owl out there, and that value transcends the need for our immediate short-term sources of timber. And so talking about our Connection to that is something that the center does a lot, because as we lose species, we also lose the ability for us to recreate in nature, our ability to find new cures for diseases. So it's really something that we focused on.
I know the center was very active after the terrible Gulf oil spill, mm-hmm. and you had people down there and checking things out. And it really has been a very sad story. And now we're hearing about this baby dolphin die off, and there's a lot of concern that, you know, these dead young dolphin calves are washing up on the Gulf of Mexico shores, mm-hmm. and this continues to happen. And the big question, well, was it the oil?
That is an excellent question, and we need the research in there. We need to be putting, the government needs to be putting the screws to BP and make sure that we're doing the research down there to figure out what these causes are from. And the center quickly jumped into the Gulf disaster last year, and we actually moved over 7 of our 65 staff to work definitely on the Gulf spill and all of the offshore drilling and the impacts of the oil that was spreading down there. And we're seeing effects now, not only on dolphins, but on bluefin tuna, on other populations that were decimated because they were spawning during that period. And the oil slick covered where they would normally be a thriving population. And so right now,
There's a dead zone,
yeah.
Isn't there, around that area and deep in the Gulf?
Yeah, we actually, one of the interesting cases that we've had is dealing with the deep water corals that have been affected down there, and thinking about other impacts that aren't immediate, that this is a long-term problem. The oil comes out in billions and billions and billions of gallons, and you're not immediately going to clean that up, and it sits down there, and you may not see the oil, but the oil's still present in that ecosystem, and their long-term impacts. And that's one of the cases we brought is under the Clean Water Act, suing BP for $19 billion, because they need that money to go into rehabilitating, recovering the zone, not just letting the Gulf languish there.
Let's talk a little, bring this back to Arizona. The center has been very vocal against the Rosemont, mm-hmm. proposed Rosemont copper mine in the Santa Ritas. What is the update on that as far as the center's action against Rosemont?
About a month ago, at the beginning of February, we filed a petition against the Forest Service under the Federal Advisory Committee Act. And that basically is, over the past year and a half, as Rosemont Copper has been going forward trying to get this massive open pit mine in the beautiful Santa Ritas, that they're having these closed-door discussions with Rosemont Copper, that they're keeping the public, that they're keeping conservationists, that they're keeping local landowners out of those discussions. And the government set up, anytime there's going to be a committee, that the public needs to have an equal spot at the table. And right now we're dealing with the industry behind closed doors, creating a way for them to go in and destroy our public lands, the lands that we pay taxes on, the lands that we should be able to go out and recreate and decide what happens to. And so this massive copper mine would totally destroy endangered species that are there, as well as beautiful lands. I've gone down there and I've walked where the mine would be, and it's just amazing to see how much diversity of life would be destroyed for short-term gains for a few people who work for Rosemont Copper.
And of course, you've seen the ads that Rosemont has been putting out on radio and TV, saying what a huge economic engine this would be for the state of Arizona.
You know, it's not the case. It's short term. It's for a few people. Really, what we should be doing is investing and protecting our public lands as a natural resource for us to recreate in, for us to keep our airs and water clean. And people go there and people enjoy being in the Santa Ritas, and we should be really advocating for that.
Rosemont continues to contend that they will be up and running by 2012. But from what I understand, there's at least 5 or 6 air quality permits alone, including a very major one from Pima County, that mm-hmm. have not been addressed. Isn't mm-hmm. that your understanding as well?
Yeah.
I mean, 2012 would seem, I don't know.
Optimistic. You know, it's been years of Rosemont Copper and other big industry groups that say that they're going to get something done so they can keep their investors on the hook, that they can keep moving forward. And groups like the Center for Biological Diversity and the Scenic Santa Ritas really push forward and making sure that the public concerns are addressed, which means that industry slows down. And we're going to keep working to make sure that they aren't in there, because there's no way that they can do this safely and for the environment.
Copper's a huge industry. Mm-hmm. We do need copper. You'd admit that. I mean, but you just say we don't need it in this, to be mined in that particular area.
You know, there are ways that we can get resources that we need to get, and there are ways to destroy our public lands. And this would be one where we'd be destroying our public lands.
As far as the, in fact, we have a, let's see, I think we've got a caller for you. And this is Richard, and he wants to talk a little bit about the Department of Interior. So, Sarah, I'm going to have you slip that headset on.
Sure.
So we can hear from Richard. So, Rose, go ahead with Richard.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
Okay, great show, Bill. I wanted to ask your guest, you know, the Bush administration lined the Department of Interior with former executives from timber and mining, oil and gas industry. Has Ken Salazar and Obama done anything to clean house at the Department of Interior?
You know, it's been a real disappointment to deal with the Department of Interior with the President Obama's administration. We had high hopes for it, but bringing in someone who is admittedly an oil man and really into developing more energy through invasive and destructive fossil fuels, it's been really disappointing, and he has a terrible track record on endangered species. He was actually the first time ever that he has been pushing to get a federally listed species, the gray wolf, off of the endangered species list for political reasons. So there's been some improvement, but it's really disappointing compared to what we expected after the Bush administration.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks
a lot,
much.
Richard. Thanks for your question. In the remaining couple of minutes, Sarah Bergman, quick overview of what the center is doing now. How many people are you employing? I mean, talk about economics. You're an economic driver in this community. You are based here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the center has been around for about 22 years. We have been in the Tucson area as our home base, and we have 13 offices across the country with 65 staff. And it's been a real tremendous group of people. We have a combination of lawyers, scientists, and activists who are all working to protect endangered species in our wildlands. So we do that primarily through the legal system, working under the Endangered Species Act, Clean Water Act, NEPA, as well as doing scientific petitions to get species added to the endangered species list.
The gray wolf, what's the latest on the gray wolf? There was the reintroduction a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was that successful or no?
It's difficult. We
it
we should be at a lot more wolves than we have right now. We have about 50 wolves in the wild in New Mexico, and we are, you know, we suffer from a lack of acceptance in the area where the wolves are, and they're, you know, they don't have the area to continue growing and being able to thrive with the human population. That's really not supportive of having them there.
What's your main priority right now for 2011?
Oh, that's a tough one. We tackle a lot of different things.
I know you wear many, many hats.
So the center right now is
multitask, don't you say?
Yeah, we are really fighting to protect the species that have been listed as being in need of protection but aren't getting the protection right now.
Sarah Bergman, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show is coming up to the top of the hour. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants at 2919 East Broadway. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. Have a great day. See you tomorrow morning.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL.
Now you're talking.
South Tucson.